At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Kevin Kelly, and you are listening to the Stardom Cast.
This is Jesse from Club Venus from Stardom, and you're watching Stardom Cast.
Guys, and welcome to the Stardom Cast, your weekly audio source of all things World Wonder Ring Stardom. I'm your host, Rob Goodwin. I am joined, as ever, by Mr. Matt Turner. Matt Turner, it feels weird to not have 23 shows to review. We are well and truly in the post-five-star slump. Are you okay?
Yeah, take a little breather. It's kind of like that meme of John Travolta, like looking around from Pulp Fiction, where it's like, how many shows? How many? I mean, I did, obviously, when we record for Marigold, the first two Dreamstar shows we're reviewing this week, which they were fantastic. But yeah, we did. Everything with the five star is wrapped up in a nice bow. We can always revisit it when need be, but just some fantastic shows. And it's going to be interesting today, considering the fact our last four Stardom Cast shows were well over 3 hours, and the handful of ones prior were well over 2 hours, where this one, really not much to talk about. Obviously, we'll go into a little bit of news. We'll talk about some of the random Stardom wrestlers all over the world, and that's about that, my man. This one will probably be done, folks, believe it or not, in about an hour or so. So, just prepare yourselves that this one's going to be a quick hitter, my friend. Very much like Mayu and Tomoka Inaba, it is going to be a quick hitter with all sorts of fantastic action from myself and one Rob Goodwin. But brother, I'm doing great. How's things over there?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Kirsty gets her her first taste of Japanese wrestling this weekend, because obviously I tricked her into... Well, I say I tricked her. She bless her, she wants to be a part of my passion, which of course is wrestling. And she was like, no, I'll come with you. So she is coming to see Pro Wrestling Noah and Progress with me in Manchester, the O2 Ritz this Saturday. So if you're about, come and say hello. We'll more than happily say hello to anyone. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing her reaction, because as I've said before, the only experience that she's had of a wrestling show was a very, very poor 2018 Raw house show from the O2 Arena, where I did offer three or four times to leave, and she was like, no, it's fine, we're here. But you know when you can just see in someone's face that they are truly not enjoying themselves. And as I was watching Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman in a ladders match, for some reason, it was one of those where I was like, yeah, I probably won't bring her again. Somehow, she's agreed to come though, Matt.
Yeah, so you can see the poker face. You can see her poker face. You can tell that there's going to be a lot of fancy Rob Goodwin-style dinners, or at least taking her out to dinner. But no, that's really nice, my friend. It's really nice. And we always say one of the many reasons why this podcast has been so successful as it has is our significant others have really just been doing a great job supporting us. As I said before, in the words of Ozzy Osbourne, behind every great man is a great woman with a greater left boot. So, folks, there's your life lesson from in my opinion, the GOAT and Ozzy Osbourne. But that's nice, my man. Should be some fun time where you be able to watch some really good wrestling. And that's nice that she's taking such an interest to want to go to shows with you, and then going to this Pro Wrestling Progress show that you're going to on Saturday. And that's, I guess, just going to be the warm up for the hell we're going to be putting our significant others through come April for WrestleMania weekend. But we got a little bit more time on that one.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, obviously, as Matt has already said, we have very little to talk about in the realm of Stardom shows, and by very little, I mean absolutely nothing. There hasn't been a Stardom show since the final. There won't be a Stardom show until the live Corican Hall show on the 8th of September, so is a week on Monday, or sorry, next Monday. That card has been released, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. We've got a couple of bits of news for you, and of course we have got Stardom on tour. So we're going to be looking at Momo Watanabe, Amina Shirakawa, and Hanako at Capital Collision. Mayu Iwatani's, you know, average tag match with Sari against Chihiro Hashimoto and Venny. I think it's fair to say it was okay. Not many people talking about it. It wasn't a absolutely blinding match that I'm still out of breath watching. And of course, we will talk a little bit about Sayori Anno's title defense that got sort of, it got shunted to the bottom of the pile, I think, with all the five-star reviews, her title defense against Dashi Sako on the 24th of August Sendai Girls show. However, Matt, and this is something that I haven't actually shared with you, which I probably should have done, but with starting back at work, it was very much a case of forgetting absolutely everything. But with it being the five-star, and with us having just an absolutely amazing group of supporters over on patreon.com/stardomcast, we ran a little bit of a competition, didn't we? Our five-star pick'ems contest. And Matt Turner, I have the winners.
Oh, you know what? Look at you, buddy. I completely forgot about that. So, yes, absolutely. I have no idea who won, so I'm excited. Mr. Rob Goodwin, please tell myself and all the fantastic listeners of the Stardomcast podcast who the big winners are.
Now, firstly, I have had an email from Brian Heyman. I did get your email, Brian, but I didn't want to spoil it. Okay, and you'll see why in a minute. So it was out of 38. We attributed points to it this time, and it actually did make it a lot easier for me to see who had won and things like that. Me and Matt also entered, and we weren't going to win, obviously, but it was just interesting to see how we would do. Now, Matt Turner, obviously, out of 38, how do you think you fared?
Oh, I got the email. Was it 28? That you 28 out of 38?
You got 25 out of 38. So well done. A very, very, very stellar achievement. Now, Matt Turner, what do you think I got?
Nine, buddy.
No, I also got 25.
Just because, you know what? I was feeling really good about myself because I got the overall winner right. I got the two semifinalists right. And I had three of the four quarterfinalists right. So I was our three of the four semifinalists. I had the finals, the overall winner, three of the four of the semifinalists, and I think like five or six of the quarterfinals. So I was feeling good about myself. So me and you tied. How about that?
I mean, it's fate, really, isn't it? It's fate. We didn't win, which is sort of standard for the Stardom cast, really, when it comes to predictions. But I'm fairly impressed with my haul there. However, thank you to everyone for a start who entered. It really does mean a lot to getting, you know, a little bit of engagement with you and sort of give back for all your fantastic support. But we actually have two winners of this year's competition. And those two winners, I will just quickly shout out Ryan McGlade, who came in second place. So well done, Ryan. Excellent stuff. He was very much the Saya Kamatani, if you will, of the competition. However, in joint first place, we have Orchard and Mr. Brian Heyman's 29 points apiece, both finishing top of our Pick'ems competition. Matt Turner, a round of applause for both of our Patreon members.
Yes, congratulations. Great job, and great job to everyone that entered the contest. It makes things a lot more fun. And there might be a possibility we may be doing this for the Goddess of Stardom tournament as well. That'll be another story for another day. But it just makes these tournaments so much more fun. Obviously, from a work rate standpoint and from a booking standpoint, this 5-star was really fantastic. And when we have these contests that we do for these tournaments, it just makes it so much more fun. It makes it interactive, and it's really our way of just basically saying, hey, thank you to the fantastic listeners, not only of the Stardom Cast, but of course the Stardom Cast Extra, our Patreon.
Our Patreon, indeed. And obviously, those two members, again, Brian Haymans and Orchard, if you want to get in contact, we will sort you your prizes out. Speaking of our Patreon, Mr. Matt Turner, what on earth is coming up this week?
Rob Gunner, alternate commentary. It's as of this recording, it's not up yet. Will it be up by the time this drops, good sir?
Mr. Matt Turner, it will indeed.
Okay, so our alternate commentary will be our final match of Hazuki, the month of Hazuki, as Hazuki and Koguma FWC challenge Suzu Suzuki and Mei Sara for the Goddess of Stardom Tag Team Championships. That'll be up on your feed by the time this episode drops. Then our alternate commentary next week, we're staying in some tag team action because we'll be starting off the month of September. Well, really, all of September. Our theme will be high-speed wrestling. So what a better way to start than some high-speed tag team action as we go to, in my opinion, the greatest Stardom show of all time as Izumi teams with Mei Suruga to take on the team of the returning Mei Sara and Starlight Kid from last year. So that'll be up on your Patreon feed for alternate commentary sometime early next week. And then there's going to be two episodes dropping this weekend. It'll be a tag team breakdown. Myself and Andy Hedder will be breaking down the Goddess of Stardom Tag Team Championship match from Nagoya Supreme Fight 2022 as Mike and Himika, my Himi, challenge Hazuki and Koguma FWC for the Tag Team Championships. And then the return of the newest segment, Matches with Matt, as I watch and we all hang out together and watch a fantastic match as Micah and Suzu Suzuki battle for the vacant World of Stardom Championship from the main event of Dream Queendom last year. And I gotta tell you, partner, I haven't seen this match in about 6 or 7 months. When I went back and watched it last night, like, boy howdy, this was such a great match. Suzu Suzuki is such an underrated seller for how violent she is, and I loved it when I first watched it. Even though, if you remember, we had a little kerfuffle when the feed went down and they gave it to us for YouTube for free, and then I watched it again, I want to say maybe in February or April. And then I just watched it again just last night. What a fantastic match. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, Mr. Rob Goodwin, I'm scheduled this Friday to interview the one and only Allison Danger as we are going to be doing our What If. What if Allison and Matt had an unlimited budget and they're going to be basically booking our own territory? So again, the plan is to record that on Friday and then drop it either Monday or Tuesday. So not only will we be doing our What If, but I cannot wait to talk to Allison about all the shenanigans that she got into at the Cauliflower Alley Club just a few weeks ago. So kind of a little extra stuff there for our What If for our Patreon members. So yes, some excellent stuff already dropping on your feed with about 3 more episodes coming in the next week or so, my friend. So yes, even though the 5-star is over, we are still busy, busy beavers over here on the Stardom Cast.
Absolutely. And again, thank you to everyone over at patreon.com/thestardomcast for all your phenomenal support. So let's delve into some news. Obviously, we started with the 5-star Grand Prix. We were talking about winners. Well, let's continue with that theme. Every year, Stardom have a set of awards that go out to certain categories in the 5-star Grand Prix. Ordinarily, they do this as a ceremony following the 5-star Grand Prix after the crowning and things like that. That wasn't the case this time. They have announced that that presentation will take place at Korakuen Hall, with the awards being presented by New Japan president Hiroshi Tanahashi. But they have announced the winners of these awards. So this is the sort of ballot, if you will, as follows. The winners, and obviously Matt, we'll give you our thoughts in a moment. So the Skill Award went to Starlight Kid. The Fighting Spirit Award went to Izumi. The Special Achievement Award to Hanan. And then you had the best match from each of the blocks. So Red Stars A, the award was given to Micah and Hazuki. Red Stars B, Mayu Iwatani versus Momo Watanabe. Blue Stars A, Sayoriano and Starlight Kid. And finally, Blue Stars B, Suzu Suzuki versus Tekla. Now, Matt, obviously, there are quite a lot of awards there. What are your thoughts in terms of... I'm especially intrigued by your thoughts on the matches.
The matches are always kind of subjective, right? If you remember, I believe the Stardom Match of the Year per Tokyo Sports was from last year was Julia versus Megan Bain from Dream Queendom. And as good as that match was, it was like the third or fourth best match on the show. So it's always very interesting to see what they're going to give. Like I remember 2 years ago, it was Suzu Suzuki and Saya Kamatani. Was a great match, but I think like we both thought like Suzuki and Julia probably from night one might have been the better, been the best match other than the finals. So it's, you know, real Mike and Suzuki, absolutely. Momo and Mayu, again, I mean, you throw a dart at whatever match happened on that B block there, and that it's a winner. But I would probably go to that one. The Tekla and Suzu one is very interesting because that was very, very violent and very pretty much up my alley. Now, Rob, I did not know this until you just said it. You said it's going to be Hiroshi Tanahashi in the middle of that ring giving out the awards, correct?
That is correct, yes.
I'm interested to see, and more importantly, hear the thoughts and comments from one Andy Hedder to see who has the better hair in the ring. Will it be Tekla or Hiroshi Tanahashi? And folks, that is only inside information, expertise that you can only get from us here at the Stardom Cast. But no, I did see the award list of this morning, and everybody is more than deserving and has earned those awards. But I have no issues with those matches. Again, a lot of the matches you can be go one way or another. I would think maybe Sai Kamatani versus Hanan would have won out of that group. Not the match in the, because I believe they're not counting the playoffs. And it wouldn't matter anyway because they'd swap up. But like the first one,
yeah,
where Hanan defeated Saya. That's probably the one that I would have went with on their one. But yeah, it's very interesting that they went with Tekla versus Suzu Suzuki. Again, that was a very different match. There might have not have been another match in that entire tournament that was like that, where it was just really straight up, really hard hitting violence, where it didn't seem like they had any regard for their own well being, especially with Tekla getting the early advantage. Where, you know, again, Tekla's going to mess around. She's going to find out. Boy, howdy, she found out from one Suzu Suzuki. That was the match I think Suzu's eardrum got busted open, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, again, really interesting. I absolutely love the match. It's really cool to see what they voted on as matches. But how about you, partner?
It's interesting because I think from, I mean, Red Stars B, we were spoilt, weren't we? I mean, you could literally, you said it perfectly, you could throw a dart at Red Stars B and it would be your match of the, you know, match of the tournament. I mean, Mayu Iwatani had great matches with Tam, with Momo, with Azumi. You know, you've got Sayurida who was tearing it up in the block. You've got that Tomoka Inaba, Meisei and Azumi triangle, all of them fantastic matches. However, if you compare that to Blue Stars B, which I think was very much a character driven block and a block very much focused on Saya Kamatani and on Tekla, I don't feel like you had the same match quality. And just looking at my own personal ratings, and again, ratings and things like that are completely subjective, and I understand that, there weren't many matches in that block that crossed the 3 3/4 threshold. Tekla and Suzu Suzuki was certainly a good match. I would be more inclined to agree with you and say maybe Suzu and Hanan, or maybe even Hanan and Saya Kamatani and Suzu Suzuki. I'm glad Suzu Suzuki got an award because I think she was the standout in that block, like ring action wise, probably alongside Hanan. I think that it probably got the award based on, like you said, it being a very unique match in the fact that no other match was as violent as that one. But it is worth pointing out that that match, in spite of its violence, still got a finish, whereas Tekla versus Risa Serra didn't make of that what you will. But yes, other than that, obviously, like I said, we had the awards for Best Skill, which went to Starlight Kid, Fighting Spirit Award, Azumi, and the Special Achievement Award to Hanan. And I completely agree with all three of those awards, especially the Special Achievement, when you consider that Hanan went through to the semi-finals, having beaten Suzu Suzuki and Suri in singles competition on the same night, and had the opportunity to become the youngest winner of the five-star Grand Prix. I think the Special Achievement Award absolutely deservingly going to Hanan.
Yeah, all three of those awards, absolutely, as you just said, definitely deserving, considering the fact that those three winners that you just mentioned, Azumi, Starlight Kid, and Hanan, respectively, their combined age is like 64. Mm-hmm. that's like the age of my mom. But it just goes to show you just how not only the young talent, but just how great that talent is. I mean, Suzu, I mean, all three of those wrestlers have really, really far upsides, and it's going to be really interesting to see where they're going to be at this time next year, or to see if they where they go. I wouldn't be shocked if Azumi, Starlight Kid, or Hanan win this tournament next year. But yeah, congratulations to all the winners. And it is great to see Tekla getting an award as well. I think that's really, really cool, considering the fact that she's kind of been start and stop since that injury 2 years ago. And she had, even though she didn't make it to the playoffs, she had a really, really good five-star Grand Prix. And the fact that she might be the next challenger coming up here in just a few days, after what happened in Cork and Hall, she might be the next challenger for that Wonder of Stardom championship. But no, excellent stuff, and I love the awards. I wish they would have done it at the end of the five star like they always do, but I understand we had to get that picture of Tam with the red belt holding it up to Micah with the crown and the robe. So I get that, like, that was your main crux of it. So if you would have do that and then put everybody in, it kind of would have got lost in the shuffle. But I like the fact that we're doing the awards ceremony and we're doing it at the legendary Cork and Hall, the building that has probably seen more five-star matches than any other building in Stardom's history. So yeah, really, really cool stuff. And it's just going to make this Cork and Hall show even mean more. And considering the fact that you're having the legendary Hiroshi Tanahashi give the awards as well, I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, agreed. Again, I think it is important, even though I've said about how Blue Stars B was sort of more of a character-driven block, Tekla did some really, really, really good work, because if you remember right at the start of the tournament, there was no reaction at all. If you remember, we were talking about how eerie it was almost, that there was just no reaction to the hate stuff. And she was progressively able to sort of elicit a reaction. I think she deserves a lot of praise for that. She's certainly someone who I think we can both say has embraced this completely new side to hate. And is certainly, aside from Saya Kamatani, the most entertaining in that group. So yeah, very, very, very well deserved. Even if the match itself, in my opinion, probably wasn't the strongest in Blue Stars B. Speaking of that Corican Hall show where the awards will officially be given out, we have had the full card announced for it. Stardom announced it yesterday, September 3rd. The full card is as follows. Starlight Kid versus Rian in a singles match. Cosmic Angels, Aya Sakura and Sayaka Karora will take on the hate team of Rina and Ruaka. Mina Shirakawa makes her return to Japan alongside Hanako, who will be later on the card. Mina will be in a three-way versus Saya Iida and Rana Yagami. Six-woman tag, Stars team of Mayu Iwatani, Koguma, and Momo Kogo versus the Neo Genesis team of Azumi, Suzu Suzuki, and Mio Amasaki. I wonder if we are building potentially to an IWGP Women's Championship challenge for Azumi there. God's Eye team of Suri, Saki, Kashima, Hina, and Lady C will take on the hate team of Nads, Katora, Momo Watanabe, Konami, and Saya Kamatani. We've then got a Wonder of Stardom Championship number one contendership three-way match. Hazuki versus Hanan versus Tekla. Presumably, the winner of that will take on Natsupoi at Namba Green Grand Fight on the 14th of September. We've then got a preview of the World of Stardom Championship match. Cosmic Angels, Tam Nakano, Natsupoi, and Yuna Mizumori taking on the EXV team of Maika Wakasukiyama and the returning Hanako. And then the high-speed championship match, Meisera making her defense against the challenger, Xena. So obviously, that match sort of came a little bit out of the blue, Matt Meisera versus Xena, but actually now that it's been sort of put out in front of us. I'm very, very up for that. What are your thoughts on this card? And also, that Wonder of Stardom Championship number one contendership match, Hazuki versus Hannon versus Tekla. I'm intrigued to see who you think wins that personally. And also, does this negate the fact that Hazuki technically had a claim to this belt in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, she never really got the win, the 1-2-3 over Natsupoi. So I get that we're building there. But we're not just there yet. I made mention to this, I think, too, on the show a week ago. We did two Stardom Casts last week, the preview and then the actual live review. So I guess technically I'm right. A week ago, I did make mention that I don't want the Hazuki match just yet because I want Hazuki to win the Wonder of Stardom Championship, but I want Natsupoi to have her run. So if they were to, if Hazuki is to win this and then she gets the championship match again, probably happening in the next Saturday on the 14th on the next Stardom pay-per-view, that I just don't see them hot potatoing the belt again, considering we've had this hot potatoing going on for the last 6 or 7 weeks or so with this championship belt. I don't want to see it hot potato just yet. Considering the fact it's a three-way, it's a one-fall take-all. First of all, I like the fact that you have to win a match to get a championship. As much as I'm ecstatic that Tam Nakano is the World of Stardom championship, she lost all those matches and gets a title shot. Regardless, it's what's in front of us. Tam's the red belt champion. Again, I think that's why the sun is so bright today. Regardless, I like the fact that we are getting a number one contenders match because it adds much more to the Wonder of Stardom championship scene. I think it's going to be Tekla. Hannon already had her title shot back, and I know it was a different opponent. She had it with Soriano back at All-Star Grand Queendom. I don't think that the Hazuki match is just yet. I think we're going to build that towards at the end of the year in Sumo Hall at Dream Queendom. I think Tekla is the perfect V1. Not only that, but it's an easy story to tell. The big badass heel. My opinion, probably the best true heel in Stardom right now in Tekla. Versus the lovable murder pixie that is Natsupoi. I think that's an easy, easy story to tell going into their championship match. And I think it'd be a really nice V1 win for Natsupoi. And it will show to everybody that Tekla can carry a big main event style match. Because this will be, if Tekla does get this win, this will be the biggest singles match of her career. I mean, she only had a shot at the high speed championship back when Nozomi had the belt back 2 years ago. And that was the match that I believe she injured her shoulder. That kept her out of the 5-star Grand Prix back in 2022. But I think that this will be Tekla's, you know, she never had a shot at the white belt. She never had a shot at the red belt. This will be, if Tekla gets the win here, it'll be her biggest match and something that she can prove to everybody to say, hey, I can carry a big, big main event style match. And it's against with Natsupoi. So my guess is Tekla, Rob Goodwin. I wonder who your guess is. And then I would like you just to throw it back to me because I have a different way that I would have went about this.
I actually completely agree with you. I know that obviously everyone wants to see Hazuki win the Y belt. And ultimately, I suppose it doesn't matter where Hazuki wins this Y belt. But also, it's a case of, you know, I don't want it to be done at the expense of Natsupoi, with Natsupoi having only held the belt for, you know, little over a month. Ideally, you give Tekla that opportunity. She will have a fantastic match against Natsupoi. The face heel dynamic is perfect there. Hannon, as you've already mentioned, has had her opportunity against Sayoriano, but she has had her opportunity. She will get many, many, many more opportunities as well. I think Tekla is the perfect way to go. I'd have Natsupoi retain against Tekla, and I would have Hazuki challenge, technically, because she still has that right to challenge, because Natsupoi didn't beat her in the 5-star. It went to the time limit draw, and I'd have her challenge her for Ryogoku, because I think that on its own, along with a tasty red belt match as well, that's going to draw you tickets, because people love Hazuki. We've seen it throughout the tournament. She gets some of the biggest reactions, and the opportunity to see her realize that dream that she's been chasing for so goddamn long, for that to finally happen, is going to be a huge moment. And I don't want it to be an afterthought. I want it to be given the build. I want to give Natsupoi, you know, a decent run, a semi-decent run. And like you've already said, we've just had three of the shortest Y-belt reigns back to back to back. So let's take a moment. Let's give Natsupoi the chance to have two or three title defenses before we then put it on Hazuki, and Hazuki holds it for 45 years.
The people's champ. Yeah, absolutely, brother. Yeah, we'll see, but I think that's probably the way to go, maybe the best way to go, at least for now. Now, how would I would have done this, Rob, is, again, this is Cork and Hall. This is a good card, maybe even a very good card. It's not a great card. It's not a blowaway card. And I think that Stardom should have stacked the deck just a little bit more to take advantage of all the positive buzz they have coming off the five-star Grand Prix. Now, we've noticed over the last handful of months, Stardom on these shows, if you're not a subscriber to Stardom World, they will put the first match on their YouTube channel for free. And 9 times out of 10, it's a banger. And it's a great way to, one, get your views up on your YouTube, which means more advertising money. Two, possibility to get more people to subscribe to Stardom World. And three, start your show off with a hot, hot crowd because you're giving them a hot match. What I would have done is I still would have had May, Sarah, and Zena as the main event for the high-speed championship. I would have put Meltier, Tam, and Natsupoi challenging Tekla and Momo Watanabe for the Goddess of Stardom championship. And I would make it a point that it's a double main event, but we're going to put the first main event match on first, where you have Tam, your red belt champion, Natsupoi, your white belt champion, together as Meltier, a team that's fantastic, drawing all sorts of money, two-thirds of the Artists of Stardom champions, challenging Tekla and Momo Watanabe for the Goddess of Stardom tag team championship. Thus, the story is, can the Cosmic Angels bring more belts into the fold of their group? I would have Tekla pin Natsupoi in the middle of the ring, probably a little bit of cheating, but of course not in front of the referee. And then I would have Tekla say, hey, I just pinned you in the middle of the ring. I want my shot on the 14th next Saturday for your Wonder of Stardom championship. That's the way that I would go about it. This three-way is still a really, really good idea, but I think that you could have just got a little more squeeze out of the juice here if we would have gotten a Tam as the red belt champion, Natsupoi as the white belt champion. First time you're seeing them in Cork and Hall. What are they doing? Oh, they're challenging for more belts against the evil duo that is Momo Watanabe and Tekla, representing hate and getting Tekla a big win over Natsupoi.
It's hard to disagree with that. I think that would be a really, really good way to go. I don't hate the card, I must admit. I think it's, you know, you've got a lot of things there that are very, very intriguing. I think Rian versus Starlight Kid, I think that's going to be Rian's best singles match. I do think that that Stars versus Neo Genesis match is going somewhere. Obviously, they teased it after Izumi beat Mayu in the five-star that we are going to get an IWGP Women's Championship defense out of it. I'd be more than happy to see that. I wonder if that's where we're building as well. You've obviously got this Wonder of Stardom three-way match, which I think is a really good way of getting people challenges. I think that works. Negated a little bit by the fact that Tam got a title shot, but ultimately Tora challenged her, so we can forgive that. And then obviously we've got the high speed title match in the main event as well, so they are putting title matches and making these Korakuen Hall shows more important, putting more of an emphasis on them, which is what we have been crying out for, Matt, for so long. You know, throughout 2023, every Korakuen seemed to melt into the same show because it was just six woman tags and they sort of lost their identity a little bit. However, now with these, you know, we had number one contendership battle royales back in February. We've got number one contendership matches here. We've got title matches on all the cards. It makes it feel slightly more important. And actually, you will see that the numbers that they are drawing in attendance are going to increase as a result of that. Just moving on a little bit, because I know we are slightly pressed for time today. My second to last piece of news, should I say, is that Mina Shirakawa, having just returned from the US, will be going to the UK again. She did defeat Dani Luna for the Undisputed British Women's Championship on August 24th at RevPro 12th Anniversary Show. She'll be back in action for RevPro at the Global Wars UK show in the Doncaster Dome, Saturday, October 19th. Just a couple of hours away from me, but I am unfortunately in Barcelona, so I will not be able to go to that show. But me and Shirakawa will be in action, and it has been tweeted out by RevPro that she will be defending that belt as well. So the world of Mina Shirakawa continues to expand, Matt.
Yeah, sure does. She seems to be all over the place in a great way. And again, we're going to review the two matches that she had on AEW Rampage this past week. By no means was it Mina versus Saya Kamatani, but she got some great reactions in the short time she was in the ring from the crowd over here in the United States. But yeah, but Mina's all over the place, and it's going to be interesting to see how a lot of reactions she gets this weekend in Corgan Hall upon her return. So yeah, nothing but thumbs up for one Mina Furukawa.
And finally, the last thing I want to talk about is that Stardom have released the schedule for September and the broadcast schedule as well, with a lot more live shows as well. So the 8th in Corrigan Hall, that's going to be live, as is New Blood 14. That's also going to be live on the 13th of September. We've got the 14th of September, Stardom Namba Grand Fight. That's going to be a pay-per-view, as we know. We've then got the Amori two-day shows on the 18th and 19th of September. They are both video on demand. Starting in Sendai Pit on the 21st of September. That's going to be live. The show in Kaminoyama, I hope I've said that right, on the 22nd is going to be a video on demand, as is the 23rd of September in Nagata. And then we've got two live shows to close out the month, the 28th of September in Korakuen, and New Blood 15 will also be live on the 29th. I don't know if the New Blood shows will be live on their YouTube channel or if they will just be live on Stardom World. When we know, we will, of course, let you know. But more live shows, Matt, after a tournament where we've been able to engage so much more in it because it's been airing live, it's only a good thing, and something that Stardom keep on improving, and it's moving very much in the right direction.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and you've seen the YouTube subscriptions have gone up. When I understand, the Stardom World subscriptions have gone up. So hopefully, yes, it's maintaining in the right direction. Obviously, you want to live stream every single Corrigan Hall show because it's just important. It really is the unofficial home of Stardom. So, yeah, nothing but up and up and positives from Stardom when it comes to getting these shows out ASAP so we can watch them and then podcast them about them, partner.
Absolutely. Makes our job considerably easier, which is always nice. Moving on then, let's have a look at some of these matches then. So we've talked a little bit about how Stardom are releasing their talent to do a lot more shows outside of Stardom. We've seen it with Mina, obviously, in the US. We've seen it with Aya Sakura going off and being a part of the DualShock tournament in Pro Wrestling Wave, which we'll talk a little bit about next week. We've seen, obviously, Saya Kamatani winning Catch the Wave, Rani Yagami going on to the final of her block of Catch the Wave. Mayu Iwatani is the latest in a line of Stardom wrestlers to take part on one of the Sariism shows. We saw her, Saria Natsupoi versus Suzumi and Takumi Iroha on Sariism Chapter 4, and that was a blinding match. Somehow, they managed to top it this time with Sariism Chapter 5, which aired on the 2nd of September in Shinjuku Face. 595 people in attendance. I'm reliably informed that that is the fifth consecutive sellout of the Sariism shows. And this main event, Matt, we are obviously going to focus on that. Mayu Iwatani and Sari defeating Chihiro Hashimoto and Veni in 23 minutes and 9 seconds. Sari pinning Veni with the wrist clutch Uranagi. Oh my God. I am quite literally still speechless. This match was frenetic. It was violent. It was so captivating. You have got Chihiro Hashimoto, who is such a destroyer. She's such a terrifying presence in the ring, and you've got her launching Mayu Iwatani all the way around the ring, to the point where Mayu actually gave an interview after the match and was laughing along with the cameraman, saying, "Are you laughing because I've just had the hell beaten out of me?" in relation to Chihiro Hashimoto. There was, of course, that headbutt. We are going to talk about that headbutt because, good Lord, it sounded like someone hitting a microphone. But Matt, where do you even begin with this match? So many people are full of praise for it. It's 9.57 at the moment on CageMatch. I know that's a very, very loose scale to be going by, but I've seen so many people referring this to this already as their tag match of the year. They might as well just close off votes. This was special, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And the match was announced, like, no disrespect to Chihiro Hashimoto and Venny, I'm like, you literally put the two best wrestlers in this match and maybe two best wrestlers in the world on the same team. I was like, maybe I would have flipped it. And then Mayu and Hashimoto versus Venny and Sari. But if you were to do it that way, is there any way it could be better than this match? I mean, maybe. But at the same time, we got such a great match. And then once the match started, I'm like, I understood why they teamed these wrestlers up the way they wanted to. One, it was the prestige of having the Marigold Heavyweight Champion and Wensari with Mayu Iwatani, the icon of stardom, the IWGP Women's Champion on the same side. I mean, those photos of the two of them within the robes with their respective championships were all over social media within seconds of the match even starting. And speaking of this match started like the best way possible. You had Sari and Chihiro Hashimoto, which looks like they're kind of building to a big singles program with the two of them. I think one of Sari's first matches when she came back after leaving the WWE was a singles match against Chihiro Hashimoto. And there's still something there. There's still more stuff there between the two. But Sari goes in for like some slaps early on. Chihiro Hashimoto does this double leg takedown that I was like, oh my God, that's only something that you see like on the Olympic level. And Chihiro Hashimoto's Greco-Roman wrestling is like second to none. She is so good. But I thought there was really good stuff there. You had great stuff with Mayu and Hashimoto, great stuff with Venny and Sari. I mean, just excellent stuff back and forth. This match really picks up when Mayu and Sari, they both hit their respective basement drop kicks. That basically sends Venny and Hashimoto to the outside. Mayu goes for a suicide dive, and she accidentally hits Sari, which would not be the only time that happened in the match. Venny then hits a picture-perfect moonsault, and all the respect in the world to Venny and Chihiro Hashimoto, because we cover a Marigold podcast and a Stardom podcast, we don't get to see as much Hashimoto and Venny as we like. Now, we've seen quite a bit, but nowhere near as Sari, and obviously nowhere near as Mayu. Again, between myself and Rob, I've probably seen every Mayu match probably since 2016. So it's really cool seeing how great these wrestlers are in Venny and Hashimoto when they're in the ring with two of the best in the world in Mayu and Sari. So either that was a really cool spot where Mayu just basically accidentally takes out Sari and Venny does a picture perfect moonsault. And then, yes, of course, I'm referring to Venny has Sari locked in like a version of the Indian Deathlock. And Mayu comes in the ring, and instead of hitting Sari to break up the submission, she starts stomping on Sari, her own tag partner, which everybody in the building quickly realized that's not what she was supposed to do. In a match that's as hard-hitting and as seriousness, I don't know if she meant to do that, but it kind of broke it up. It kind of got a laugh, and everybody played it off really, really well. I thought that was really, really cool, really, really funny. The one thing I noticed, and I didn't notice it about halfway through this match, is Mayu's neck was taped up very much like it was taped up in that match with Tomoka Inaba, but then it really wasn't taped up in her last two matches in the five-star with Natsupoi and Micah. So I thought it was just done as a precaution. But considering the fact how hard-hitting those two matches were, you see that her neck, and again, I didn't notice it until maybe about 5 or 6 minutes into this match, how well her neck is taped up. And again, it's somebody's neck. That's something that you don't want to mess with. But Mayu just didn't seem to bother her. And I was getting really worried because she was taking some big bumps, especially with Hashimoto. There was that one spot where Hashimoto does that drop step. And again, other than Kurt Angle and Minoru Suzuki, I've never seen anybody ever in wrestling that does that drop step where she goes to the waist lock as fast and as accurate as Hashimoto. Hashimoto is getting ready to launch Mayu, very much like we've seen her in Stardom do with Shuri, with Mirai, with Himeka. And she's getting ready to launch Mayu. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no, Mayu's neck is not 100% clearly. And then Mayu kind of stops and they're basically milking the spot. And I'm waiting for Sari to come in and maybe stop the bump. And then now it is not Sari not stop the bump. She hits this Takayama-style German suplex and lands Mayu right on her neck.
Oh, my We've God. Seen it Mayu. Was disgusting.
That may, and maybe it's just recency bias, Rob. We've seen Mayu dropped on her neck so many times with the Momos, the Eos, the Julias, the Utamis, yada, 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 so on and so forth. That might have been the worst one. Obviously, again, I went back and watched that spot, me kind of knowing a little bit of the ins and outs of how pro wrestling works in the ring. Mayu had her chin tucked as well as possible. A lot of that was taken on the shoulders. It looked absolutely gross, but I was like, oh man, that's not going to do any favors to her neck. Then as we're ramping up this match even more, Hashimoto goes to the top rope and Mayu tries to top rope her Karana, and Hashimoto's just not having it. And she hits this insane powerbomb off the top rope to Mayu. Now, majority of that bump is on your back, but still, you're still taking some of that on your neck. So I was like, geez, Louise. I hope, again, the 5 stars over, we're going to start ramping up a little bit of these Mayu IWGP defenses. Hopefully on these multi-person matches, Mayu takes it a little bit easy because she's been, I mean, this is just an unbelievable year for Mayu. We're going to get into that in a moment. But this thing just really goes back and forth. And we get see some great double team action from Sari and Mayu. We see, again, I mentioned maybe the greatest neck bump Mayu's ever taken was with Hashimoto. About 2 minutes later, Mayu may do the best Dodon Pie I've ever seen to Chihiro Hashimoto, because Hashimoto properly takes that on her neck as well. And then there's one spot where Hashimoto fires up and looks like she's going to hit the big spear on Mayu, and Mayu just kicks her straight in the face with a super kick. Like, Hashimoto properly fed in Hazuki style to take that that kick to the face. Brilliantly done. Ultimately, though, it is the great teamwork of Sari and Mayu that put away Veni. Not only with that disgusting headbutt, but it's an exploder, Mayu moonsault, and then the wrist clutch exploder, or the wrist clutch Uranagi for the 3 count. I liked how it was like, sorry, she usually changes like the one Uranagi or the one exploder into the hammerlock or the wrist clutch exploder for the finish. She hit the one, let Mayu do her big finisher, and then hit her finisher. So I liked it how they really blended their big finishers together to take out Veni. Excellent, excellent match. And then Mayu basically says, not only in the ring, but then afterwards in the post, the backstage interview, that she wants to defend the IWGP Championship against Veni, Hashimoto, and Sari once again. And considering the fact that we have Azumi pretty much maybe the next challenger, maybe on the 14th, that Mayu's, if we get these three, if we get two of the four wrestlers I just mentioned as Mayu's challengers for that belt by the end of the year, I mean, Mayu's got to be considered like wrestler of the year. She's got to be right up there with Ospreay, considering the fact that she already has. And someone made mention to me just the other day, what Mayu's been able to do in the last 30 days, no other wrestler has ever done. And what I mean by the last 30 days, her entire run in the 5-star Grand Prix, plus you have her two playoff matches, Natsupoi and Micah, and then this match, they all took place within like 30, 31 days. I don't know any wrestler ever in the history of wrestling to have been able to do what Mayu has done. I mean, just unbelievable, considering the fact she had all those matches. Everyone was fantastic, and this is the icing on the cake. Again, I always say that Mayu, she may be the wrestler of the year, because not only are the singles matches great, but the tag matches are great. And the only wrestlers that right now, as we're recording this, it's the first week of September, that may be beating her out for wrestler of the year, in my opinion, is Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay. But Ospreay and Danielson, their tag match resume does not add up to what Mayu has been able to do. We saw an Artist of Stardom championship match early in the year that she had. We saw a six-person or eight-person tag match that she had that was really, really good. We had the Eye Contact versus Best Friends. We had Eye Contact versus Meltier. All these great tag matches are just adding on to her resume. And then you throw this one on, which is easily, as great as those matches were, easily the best tag match that she's had. I would say easily best tag match of the year. In my opinion, is the best tag match of the year, but not easily. It just narrowly beats out that FWC versus Crazy Star match that me and you just did alternate commentary on, partner. And maybe for a non-starter match somewhere down the line, maybe me and you need to crack open a beer or four and watch this one back, partner, because this was great. 5 stars for me.
Yeah, it's, you know, I feel like I say this more often than I don't, but this is an easy 5 stars for me. It's one that I would, it's one of those dream matches that doesn't need any build. It's just carried by the volume of talent in the ring and just the exchange. Like, there was no downtime in this match. 23 minutes it goes, and there's no downtime because all four women are wrestling at such a high velocity. Like, every combination was fantastic. Hashimoto and Mayu, Sari and Veni, Veni and Mayu, like Sari and Chihiro Hashimoto, which seemed to be the biggest feud. And it's not often that you see Sari, who is such a stoic badass, on the back foot. But there was moments here where Hashimoto was throwing hands, and it was disturbing at times, some of the contacts she made. And if we are to get even one of the singles matches that Mayu has teased there, I'll be very, very, very excited. Again, 5 stars from me. If you are only going to watch one match from those that we review today, this has to be the one, because it was just that damn good. And then when you've done that, go and check out the main event from Sariism Chapter 4 as well, because that was also tremendous. Again, people are saying Sari Booker of the Year. It's getting harder and harder to bet against her, Matt.
Yeah, again, the only thing she has against her is she's booked 5 shows this year. You know what I mean?
Where, yeah,
like, Tony Khan books that many in a week. Triple H books that many in a week. And again, what Taro Okada has been able to do this year, considering the fact how great the 5-star is, how great the Cinderella was. And then, of course, we cannot forget the Hat Man himself, Rossi Ogawa. I mean, just based on the fact that he brought Io Shirai back to Japan to have a match with Utami. Mm-hmm. But I see your point when everybody's like, Sari's Booker of the Year. I'm like, again, it's your opinion. But, you know, and she's put on some great shows and great main events and dream main events that are getting high praise, but she's only booked five shows. So that'd be my only strike against her. They're all 5 home runs. Don't get me wrong, though.
I was just going to say, but what a 5 shows.
Yeah, true.
The 6th one has been announced, by the way. It will be airing in January, I believe. Sariism Chapter 6. God knows who she's going to bring in for that main event, because good grief, she's set the bar so high now. Anyway, that is by the by. Let's move on. What a fantastic match. We're going to move on to the New Japan Capital Collision 2024 show, Washington District of Columbia Entertainment and Sports Arena. 2,266 people in attendance. 3 wrestlers on this card. We've got Mina Shirakawa and Hanako defeating Trish Adora and Viva Van on the buy-in show in 6 minutes and 56 seconds. Mina submitting Viva Van with the figure 4 leg lock. Matt, this was fine, wasn't it? It did what it needed to do, but it's not a match that I will be encouraging people to go and check out.
No, by no means was it bad. It was good, very good. 7 minutes to tell your story. Big fan of Trish Adora, big fan of Viva Van. She's somebody that has been on AWTV quite a bit over the last few months. She's somebody that's really, really good. It's great to see Hanako. I have not seen any of her matches since she left Stardom for the US excursion. The crowd absolutely loves Mina Shirakawa. Her and Mina, obviously, they're part of EXV together. They work really well together. And like halfway through this match, I was like, oh, damn, I forget how well Hanako and Mina work together, because they had some really, really interesting stuff here. Yeah, it was a really good back and fourth match between the two. Ultimately, though, I thought the finish was really good when Mina locks Viva Van in the figure four. Trish Adora comes in to stop the figure four, and then Hanako puts her in the torture rack. So that was a really cool visual to see the members of EXV really standing tall towards the end. Mina gets a big win here, and considering the fact of how these New Japan women's matches have been going, they'll usually give somebody a big win on the undercard, and then somewhere down the line, they'll challenge the IWGP Women's Championship. Supposedly, Mina's going to be in the U.S. for quite a bit. I would not be shocked to see on that Fighting Spirit Unleashed show or on an AEW pay-per-view sometime soon that Mercedes Moné defending the New Japan Strong Championship against one Mina Shirakawa. They're both, two of them have made it very, very apparent that they want to wrestle each other, and why not? Why not get it done sometime by the end of the year? You know, considering the fact that, again, Mina looked like a big star in this match, and obviously Mercedes Moné was over like Rover in the next match we're going to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. This was fine. I know that you give 3 stars to your sort of, you know, run of the mill match. I give it 2.5 simply because of that being half of 5. But yeah, overall, I thought it was fine. I do agree with you. I think Hanako and Mina Shirakawa work very, very well. Did you see the promo afterwards where Hanako cut an English promo?
I did not.
It was obviously very broken, but an incredible achievement in itself, saying how she sort of failed because she didn't win a championship. However, when she comes back, she will have a belt. So I'm wondering if we're going to see Hanako challenge once again for a belt, maybe going for the New Bloods tag titles. Who knows? We haven't seen the New Blood card yet, which is obviously going to be a week on Friday, as we've already discussed. We've then got, obviously, the main event. We'll talk a little bit, by the way, about Mina's tour in America after this match. But in the main event, New Japan Strong Women's Championship match, the champion Mercedes Moné makes her first title defense of the Strong Women's title against Momo Watanabe, defeating her with the bank statement in 19 minutes and 56 seconds. Matt, Momo is over in America, man. She's over in America.
Yeah, considering the fact that Mercedes is the heel, you know, she's the heel on AEW TV going into this match, and Momo is kind of the face in America, but they flip towards the end. Like, Mercedes is the one that gets the cheers at the end, and Momo's getting the proper boos, which was really smart because this match starts, and it's the first maybe 6 or 7 minutes was good, but it was almost like a feeling out process. They're really trying to get their timing down. And then even Momo seemed like she wasn't sure how hard she could hit Mercedes. Even she does that Tree of Woe spot where she picks you up for a suplex and locks you in the Tree of Woe. And 9.5 times out of 10, she just properly kicks you in the head. And I'm like, okay, here it comes. And she just started throwing some knees to Mercedes. And I was like, I wonder why that is. And again, to me, it was maybe like she wasn't sure. Like, okay, this isn't Mayu. This isn't Hazuki. This isn't Utami. Like, I don't know how hard I can hit her. And then when Mercedes is coming off the heat, she's throwing some blitzing forearms, blitzing kicks, blitzing knee strikes. I mean, some really, really hard-hitting action. And then I think it finally clicked into Momo's head, like, oh, yeah, I can hit her really, really hard. She's fine with it. And then the last 6 or 7 minutes of this match, it really, really ramped up to some excellent stuff, some really good back-and-forth stuff. They did a good job getting the crowd engaged, making Momo the babyface, or Momo the heel, and Mercedes the babyface, which is ultimately what I think they were going for. Considering the fact of that, and I think I told you this because the next day was the 5-star finals, considering the fact that if you count the pre-show, like this show was like 5 hours long, and the crowd was a little bit tired on the match prior. So it really took them a little bit to really get the crowd amped up. But the last 6 or 7 minutes, everybody was really into this. Some excellent stuff here between Mercedes and Momo. Some great counter wrestling with Mercedes. Again, some stiff mid kicks from Momo Watanabe. Momo Watanabe takes advantage with that, goes for the Peach Thunder, and then Mercedes rolls through the Peach Thunder, gets wrist control put, and then is able to use the bank statement onto Momo, basically teasing there. We get a ref bump, we get a bat fight back and forth, and then Mercedes, and again, I like how Mercedes is able to very much at the start thing where you chain your big moves back to back. She uses the moneymaker back into the bank statement to for the tap out win. Again, I like how she had to really, really unload her entire arsenal to defeat Momo Watanabe. Again, a really solid match, 20 minutes. I was really glad that these two got this much time. It really just seemed like the first few minutes they were just trying to have like a feeling out process to kind of see where they needed to go. But that last 6 or 7 minutes was really, really excellent. For me, my man, I gave it at 4.25 stars, and I would love to see these two run it back. But my guess is that we're going to get Mina versus Mercedes somewhere down the line.
Yeah, I gave it 3.75. It was interesting, actually, like you mentioned, to see sort of the cogs whirring in Momo's head, sort of almost being very respectful, almost a little bit too respectful. And if you look, there's a big disparity between her opening strikes and then the way she plows into Mercedes with that Samato, like properly goes for it. And it's at that point that match really, really, really begins to ramp up. I will also say that the video package heading into, even though it was almost instantly outdated because it had Tora as the Red Belt champion, she dropped it like 3 hours later. I thought the video package was superbly done and really built up hate as this dominant virus spreading through Stardom. But yeah, Momo massively over in the US. Obviously, Mercedes Moné is Mercedes Moné. You know, she's going to get fantastic reactions wherever she goes. She's got an incredibly catchy chant. But Momo held her own. And as a heel, as a, you know, supposedly despicable heel, she's still able to get these really, really positive face reactions. And I think that's really important. Overall, unsuccessful, but another solid outing for Momo and a main event on a New Japan pay-per-view. So fair play to Momo, who doesn't get her props anywhere near as often as I feel she should do. Moving on then, Matt, do you just want to go through Mina's adventures in AEW land?
What I'm going to do is okay with you, because I got about 10 minutes before I have to pop off and take care of some work stuff. I'm going to go through these two Mina matches, and then I'm going to do Io and Kairi watch. And then if I have time, we can do Anu and Dash. Is that okay with you?
You go for it, good sir.
Okay, and I apologize, folks. So Mina Shirakawa had two matches on Rampage. We had Mina Shirakawa versus Robin Renegade, who I've heard of before but never really seen her matches. I was really impressed by what she was able to do. Some excellent stuff here. Huge chance for Mina. Even as soon as she comes out of the curtain, not even when she gets in the ring, this place, they know who Mina Shirakawa is, and they're all about Mina Shirakawa. Mina with the head scissors into a Russian leg sweep. That sets up her breaking down the knee of one Robin Renegade. Robin is able to really come back with some really impressive strikes. It's a corner double knees for a two count. Mina goes back to the knee, locks in the figure four. Robin Renegade is able to break out of the figure four, get some more striking, some more really solid technical wrestling from Robin Renegade. Hits a big backstabber for a two count, but Mina Shirakawa goes back to the knee with the dragon screw leg whip. And then, she goes back to the figure four again. Robin is able to roll up Mina off the figure four for a two count. Robin goes for a German suplex, but that gets blocked. Mina gets leg control again. Back to the figure four for the third time. And as they say, partner, the third time is the charm. Mina Shirakawa with the figure four for the tap out win. Now, we go to Rampage just this past Friday. On the card, they just had Mina Shirakawa in action. So you kind of figured it's going to be Mina versus a local talent. That local talent was Misa Tate, who I've never seen before, never heard of before, but she was really good in her role. Again, this match was like 3 minutes long. They had some really good technical wrestling to start out the match, and then it was the Mina show. Now, Rob, between me and you, I think we've seen every single Mina Shirakawa match in Stardom, and I saw Mina do two new moves in this match I've never seen her do before. Have you ever seen Mina do a frog splash before?
I have never seen Mina do a frog splash.
No. I've never, and I was actually sitting next to my wife on the couch, and I was like, oh, Mina with a frog splash. And Amber goes, Mina's not like a high flyer. I was like, no, that's really random. And then you know the strike spot she does where she does the rowing elbow into the spinning back fist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she did that. Then she did like a jumping sidekick, like a la Lance Storm or Saya Kamatani. I go, oh, that's new. So Mina Shirakawa adding some new moves into her repertoire. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see if she adds those, because the frog splash looked great. And the spin kick looked really good. And considering the fact you're going roaring elbow, spinning back fist, and then you're leaving your feet to hit somebody with your legs, I'm like, that's really cool. So it's going to be interesting to see if Mina continues to do that. But ultimately, Mina hits the glamorous driver, Mina, which they actually called on the show for the first time for the three count. I have no ratings on either of those matches just because they were kind of quick matches. So interesting stuff, excellent stuff from Mina Shirakawa. And folks, that's going to take us. Go ahead, Rob. Segue me in for Io and Kairi.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Io and Kairi Watch.
Absolutely. And big thumbs up to my main man, Darren Chatton, who's helping me out on Io and Kairi Watch.
Darren.
Damn right. Basically giving me time cues so I know when to fast forward through Monday Night Raw. No disrespect to the fantastic talents that are wrestling in front of like 15,000 people every week on Monday Night Raw. I just don't have the time to watch everything. Not only that, but he's helping me out with a glimpse at Julia, which we'll be talking about this week on Marigold, because we've got a lot of Julia over here in the States as well. But We go to a number one contenders match for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships as Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair won the belts back this past weekend at Bash in Berlin. So it's Io and Kairi taking on Fyra and Dawn. Jade and Bianca are out there basically scouting to see who their next challengers are going to be. We get early heat on Kairi. They cut the ring off on Kairi. However, Kairi is able to fire back with a big elbow smash and a cutlass onto Isla Dawn. That opens up the door for Io to come in. The cutlass actually sends Fyra to the outside, and the elbow smash sends Dawn to the outside. Io then quickly comes out and hits an Aussie moonsault. So you know, like, the first minute of this match, this isn't going to go long at all. Eventually, we get more heat onto Kairi. Kairi makes the hot tag to Io. Io comes in on Fyra, show tie to everybody. Io hits that beautiful handspring dropkick to both Fyra and Dawn. Io then hits the bullet train onto Fyra for a two count. Everybody scatters the outside. Kairi decides that she wants to do a dive to the outside. She goes to dive on Fyra and Dawn. However, they pull Bianca Belair in front of them. Kairi hits accidentally Bianca Belair, and she hits the top of her head accidentally on the top of the time or the announce table. That's where Kairi was busted open hard way and had to have like 8 stitches put above her eyebrow. That helps Fyra and Dawn hit their double team move onto EO. It's basically a gory bomb and a flatliner at the same time. A really cool double team looking move. And that gives Fyra and Dawn the win over Io and Kairi, thus setting up a rematch with Fyra and Dawn versus Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. So, yeah, so I'm sure everybody has seen that Kairi was all sorts of a bloody mess, and you're kind of wondering what happened. I'm not exactly sure, but I'm 99% sure as she overshot her dive and went headfirst onto the table. And then she's actually, as Io and Kairi are in the faces of Fyra and Dawn, Kairi with blood going all the way from her eye down to her chin is just laughing. This just goes to show you what a psychopath that she is. Rob Goodwin, as I was waiting for you to get onto the podcast, I watched Io on Speed because she was on WWE Speed. That is available on Twitter. And the match went 2 minutes. So I'm going to review that match because I literally just watched it like 30 seconds before you came onto the Discord, my man. So
you do that, EO, good sir.
Yes, absolutely. Io versus Lyla Valkyria. We get some high-speed style action to start, as obviously Io, former high-speed champion. Lyla Valkyria is actually able to keep up with Io. Lyra gets the early advantage with a kick combination. Io comes back with a springboard dropkick and the bullet train for a two count. Io then goes for the moonsault. She misses. She lands on her feet. We get some Izumi Starlight Kid style action of close two counts back and forth. But eventually, Io catches Lyla Valkyria with a sunset flip variation for the three count. Keep in mind, these WWE Speed matches have a 3-minute time limit, and then she will advance further in the tournament. And I believe she will be facing the winner of Naomi and one Blair Davenport. So there's a good possibility, Rob, we may see former red belt champion Io Shirai versus former red belt champion Bea Priestley, now known as Blair Davenport, on WWE Speed in just a few days. So excellent stuff there. Folks, I do have to depart. I apologize because, again, I have some work stuff that I have to take care of. You guys, if you want to get a hold of me, you know how to get a hold of me, Matt Turner OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter. And Rob, just to give you my star rating on Siriano and Dash, I had it at 4.25 stars, good sir.
Fantastic, Matt. It's been a pleasure as always. I shall see you soon, my friend.
I'll probably be texting you in about 20 or 30 minutes, buddy. But yes, I have to take care of some stuff, and I appreciate you finishing this baby off for us.
Not a problem at all, my man. See you soon.
Be good. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that pretty much brings us to the end of the podcast because, unbeknownst to Matt, I didn't actually watch Sayoriano and Dash Chisako yet. I haven't had a chance to watch it. I've seen the start of it, and then unfortunately, just several hundred things came up. So what we'll do is we will port our review of that over to next week. In regards to next week, we'll be back to review that Corican Hall show. Don't forget, Orchard and Brian, you have won our 5-star Grand Prix pick'ems. Make sure to get in contact with us and we will sort you out with your prizes. Thank you to everyone by the way, who has supported the podcast, who is supporting us on Patreon. You are all absolutely amazing, and we can't thank you enough. If you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please think about subscribing. We are literally everywhere. If you could leave us a 5-star review and a comment, that really helps us out as well. It helps us be exposed to even more people. Matt's been posting a lot of things of us rocketing up the charts, which is always, it's all down to you guys. So thank you to all of you for that. Don't forget to check out the website, www.thestardomcast.com, for all of your news and statistics regarding Stardom and Marigold as well. You can find us on social media at the Stardom Cast. What else is there that I usually do? I'm really being put off now because I know I'm going to have to do Matt's sign off, and I know I'm going to do it wrong. You can follow me on Twitter at Real Rob Goodwin. You can follow Matt at Matt Turner OF. And then, of course, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for all of your support, because it's not just my podcast. It's our podcast. And we're all in this together. Everybody's different. Everybody's special. Bye-bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.